Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Giller Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, second hour of the show. It is the Killer Bees. Jeremy's out today, back tomorrow, but we are lucky enough to have my good friend Barry Laminack in with me here at the Decoy. If you want to stop by, I-10 Bunker Hill area, great place to hang out. Wait staff and the people here are absolutely over the top, friendly, and fantastic. And it's a great place to watch sports, have some fun, play some volleyball, some cornhole, and we'll, as we keep telling you about, lots of stuff going on over the course of the weekend as well. Dr. Dre on 290 is here, only it's I-10. Crystal Collins just walked in. What? Chewy is here. What? Oh, the family's all back together. It's fantastic. But right now joining us, another member of the family who had a hell of a year for us, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Lee, always great to have you. It's been a while. Love catching back up with you. How is everything going, my man? And are you going through any kind of withdrawals with football season winding down?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. There's a slight withdrawal after watching football nonstop every Saturday and Sunday. College basketball and the NBA can kind of fill the void after March Madness. I mean, it's rough. It is rough. I do baseball, and I have two other guys in my office help me with baseball. It's just tough making it through from the end of March all the way through probably early to mid-August. So do what we got to do, right?
No doubt. You got to survive, right? I mean, and
you had to have at least a week withdrawal after the Texan seasons, correct?
Yeah, but the thing with it, Lee, was the fact that they overachieved and did so much so soon.
Right.
That people, that week grace
period.
You just don't want
it to end. I mean, it's just so much fun.
Now, from an outsider's perspective, and you obviously being an ex-quarterback too, watching what Stroud did all year, and even though they got a first-place schedule next year, any reason to believe that this team isn't going to continue to get better and better?
Oh, when you got a quarterback, you got a chance every game. So they can just draft and put the right pieces around him. Now they know what his skill set is. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'd love to be there. Hey, if you want Tua, we'll give you Tua for Stroud straight up.
No, I think we're good.
Pass.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what Barry said. Pass, which would mean that's something he struggles with down the field sometimes. But yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right. So catch us up a little bit because you had a great year. We knew that we were riding the train and having a lot of fun, and a lot of people were getting winners throughout the year. Yeah. But you guys kicked some ass. You had a lot of great success during the football season. And now you got the big game, the biggest game of all coming up on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even though it has been probably, this is our 30th year, probably one of the top 3 or 4 years that we've ever had, you lose the Super Bowl. I'll never forget this. It was probably my 4th or 5th year in business. And no one hit 70, 75%. We hit about 61%. Almost every close game went our way. That's almost 2 out of every 3 the entire year. And I had 2 people, after I lost the Super Bowl, told me I lost some money for the year.
Well, that's their dumb ass for betting too much on one game.
That's just the way people are. You know, they remember what you did last. The average person is going to play 3, 4, 5 times the normal amount on a Super Bowl, and then they'll play a bunch of prop plays. So anyone who tells you in my business the Super Bowl isn't important, they're lying to you.
Yeah, and you fall victim to what we fall victim all the time of, that I always say is the Janet Jackson philosophy, which is, what have you done for me lately? And they don't give a rat's ass about your overall success for the year.
Right. So,
tell us now. I'm curious.
Let's put out some fun props, some player props, and then the game, and let's see if we can
that's what I was gonna ask
your listeners some money.
Obviously, it used to be just seriously some kind of like fun and game one-offs with props, but there's money to be made on these props bets, is there not?
Oh, because there's 580 of them. So you can study these props, and you can find some weaknesses. So let's start before the game.
Yep.
National anthem. This is what my daughter does. She is a professional actress. She sang in the last year the Orange Bowl and national anthem for the Bears, and she's hit it 9 straight years. So here's what she says, and there's been 3 of the last 5 years have gone over 2 minutes. She loves Reba McEntire. She says she's a storyteller. But she said that she is uncomfortable now hitting the top notes. My daughter sings it, she said, in a D. She starts in a D. Reba, there's so much out there. There's like 22 national anthems from 1976 through recently. And 20 to 22, she went under a minute and a half. In the 80s, she started on a C. In the 90s, on a B. Since 2010, she starts it on an A. And she said her dropping of the starting note makes sense over the 40 years she sang it. It's a testament to her being able to sustain the duration as long as she has in these earlier anthems. But she's not going to go out of her comfort zone. She's not, just because it's a national anthem, she feels going to sing it in like a minute 40, minute 50. In 97 and 99, when she sang it in the World Series, she was under that number. So she feels it's going to go under 90 and a half total seconds.
Ooh, wow.
Yep. This is an exact science that people don't get anywhere else. Breaking down the freaking anthem, people.
Yeah, and like what note it starts with, that's good stuff, Lee. Hey, how much?
Yeah, because you can't start. She said you can't start on an A and end on a C or D. So,
well, you just described my high school, but that's okay. That was all 4 years. Yeah,
and here's another one. A fun prop here. Everyone, there's like 30-something prop plays with Taylor Swift. Now, I'm not going to bet on, is she going to hug, you know, Travis Kelce's mom if there's a touchdown. But there is one, and there is some history on these type of props. When Peyton Manning or Eli Manning have played the game, they always have these props like, will they show, when Peyton's playing, will they show Eli how many times? And they'll put it at like 2.5, and they'll show it once. I think unless he has a big catch or a touchdown, I think they're going to limit how many times they're going to show her. I think they're going to show her 2, 3, 4 times tops. I think this number is really juiced. We'll go under 5.5 appearances from the start till the end of the game. Doesn't include after the game is over. So feel that's a pretty strong one. Got a player prop here for each of the two teams. Debo Samuel. Now, he has not run much as of late because he's been injured. You know, until they got to the playoffs, the games weren't that important. I think they're going to run him 3, 4, 5 times. And he is so dynamic. He can run for over 14, 15 yards on one carry alone. So I like Debo Samuel over 13.5 rushing yards. Brock Purdy, quarterback for San Francisco, not one quarterback. Not one in the 17 regular season games or the postseason, 3 postseason games, has thrown for over 260 yards on this Kansas City defense. I think San Francisco is going to try to control the ball and the clock. And he did throw over 250 yards in both of the playoff games, but didn't approach 300. And they were trailing early and often in both games. I think he's going to go under 247.5 passing yards, and a couple for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, I like the under 35.5 yards for the longest completion, and Travis Kelce over 70.5 receiving yards. I think he'll fly over that number. He's going to probably catch 7, 8, 9 balls again.
Lee, tell everybody if they want more of this, because who wouldn't? I mean, especially with the chance that to cash in, and like you said, people are looking to, you know, either cut their losses or keep on the winning, and they got one big game to do it. Tell them how they reach you and how they get connected with you to get all this information.
We've won 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls. If you want to get the game and our top 15 prop plays, just $97, ParamountSports.com. Also, we're going to give away the free UFC card this weekend for Fight Night on Saturday night. We normally sell 5 to 7 selections. We only found 3 real strong selections. You want to get our UFC card for free, just go to ParamountSports.com on the homepage. Scroll down where it says free pick sign up. Put in your email. We'll email that to you Friday night. just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, we always appreciate you. It's been a great year with you. Keep knocking them dead and kicking ass, taking names, and we will catch up real soon.
Sounds good. Let's reconvene. How about the Tuesday before March Madness? Okay?
Tuesday for March Madness. Joe George, mark that down. All right. Okay. Lee, we appreciate you, man. All right, we're going to keep moving on. Let's get some Astros conversation. We talked about it a little bit. We teased it a little bit for you. Now let's get into it in depth. You got Altuve locked up for life. That's exactly what everybody wanted to do. What's next for this Astros team? Are you more concerned with the three that are coming down the road, or would you rather concentrate now as Dana Brown and Jim Crane on what's left to be done for this season to give this team every resource to possibly win another one? More of the Killer Bees coming up next, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you again about the Daisy Dips, because if you dip, we all dip, and you can dip for the Super Bowl because of the fact that you don't have to make the dip. You just have to go buy the dip. Go to your local grocery store right now, get you some Daisy Dips. Chewy was asking me just a few minutes ago, how do you jazz it up so that you taste great? You don't have to, because the French onion, the ranch, it's already done. It tastes great. Yeah, if you want to add a little of your favorite hot sauce on the side, you can do that, but why would you? Because it's Daisy. They do the dips better than anybody else, and you don't have to do any work. Just go to your local grocery store, go to the dairy aisle, get you a couple of tubs of that Daisy Dips. It makes everything you're going to serve for your big party even better. For the big game coming up, put it on your pizza, put it on your wings, your veggies, and your potato chips. You're going to love it all the time. All you got to do is go to your grocery store, get you some Daisy Dips.
Killer Bees have relocated their hive. It's at the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, which is currently located at the Decoy. Let's join the boys, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
All right, we're back on the Killer Bees. Jeremy out today, Barry Laminack in, as we have another bee in the hive, as well as Joe George back at the studio and Andrew Carlson here with me at the Decoy. If you guys want to stop by the Decoy, we love this place, I-10 Bunker Hill area. Come on in, stop on by. It's a regular 21 and older bar, but it's got volleyball and cornhole outside, and it's got one corn dog inside named Barry Laminack that'll tell you jokes till 7 o'clock. Even when we're off at 6, Chewy's here playing video games while lying to us and telling us he's listening. Dre and Crystal Collins are outside playing one-on-one cornhole. And we are here to talk Astros. Look, we talked about this. Teased it. The Altuve signing was big.
Yeah.
We actually started a show the other day wondering if he was actually going to sign and when they were going to talk. By the end of the show, Joe was breaking news at 5:30 that they actually got the deal done. People are happy. But now what's going to make them happier? Because the follow-up conversation everybody's been having is, what's next? Does this mean you're going to go sign Bregman and Fromber and Tucker? Or is this a sign, and what do you want them to do? Would you rather have them go, okay, yeah, those things are coming down the pike, but the main thing we need to do is make sure this team has everything it needs, getting ready for this season. Let's go out and see what we need to still do for this team for this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this Astros onion, right? First, if you look at what Jim Crane said after signing Jose Altuve, he was like, yeah, we're going to talk to Bregman and see what we can figure out, and then we'll just watch Tucker play for the next couple years and see how that goes. And it's like, wait, what? You're just going to watch Tucker play? Like, that to me, that's a game of chicken you don't want to play with Kyle Tucker. And then the fact that Bregman and Scott Boras has already come out and said Bregman is going to enjoy free agency. In other words, he's going to see it through to the end and get offers from everybody. And you got that great deal from Jose Altuve, but Alex Bregman is a couple years younger than Jose Altuve, and he is going to go to free agency. Yes, we'll listen to any offer the Astros have. So that's scary, and that's why I say, if the mindset is we're going to work on Bregman and we'll ignore Tucker until later, better be careful, right? Because you might want to be working on Tucker and keeping in mind or having a number for Alex Bregman, but I think the target long-term has to be Tucker, because I could easily see Alex Bregman going the way of Carlos Correa,
yeah, but he has,
and leaving for
more
money.
He has 2 years left before you absolutely have to do something, right? So I think that, to me, when I look at it, the one thing that was obvious was Boras basically drew a line in the sand and said, Altuve is a sweetheart deal.
No, Bregman's on his last year.
No, I'm not talking about Bregman. You're talking about Tucker.
Oh, yeah. Tucker's got 2 years.
Right. So there's no sense of urgency with Tucker. But the thing with me is, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, I believe that he made the statement that covers his ass. We're at a certain point, we're going to make Bregman an offer. But all that's going to really do is make sure that if he signs somewhere else, especially if it's for more money, that he can say, hey, look, we tried. We made him what we thought was a very fair offer, and he decided that he wanted to go somewhere else. You know, so-and-so paid him the money. We wish him the best. He was great here. He's just covering his butt because I think he's going to – Bregman is going to be treated just like they treated Correa and Springer and everybody else. We hope he has a hell of a year. We hope that he's right in betting on himself. We're going to ride this thing out. At the end of the season, we'll participate in free agency with him, but I think it's with the expectation. He's going to play elsewhere.
I forget who it was that wrote it, but it's 100% true. Jim Crane has never – like, that's why the Hader signing was so crazy, is that's not been Jim Crane's right. M.O. since he's on the Astros. And whoever was writing this, I don't know if it was – I don't remember who it was, Chandler Rome or Keith Law.
Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Killer Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
Once again, the hot air of Barry Laminek has knocked us off the air, but we are back now, so finish your thought.
I was just saying that somebody was writing about the fact that Jim Crane doesn't do big deals like that. He's not going to be the Dodgers and just give ungodly amounts of money and make crazy deals. He likes five-year deals. He pays pretty fairly, but that's about it. He's not going to get locked up long-term. And so if you know that Scott Boras and Alex Bregman are looking for max money, max deals, he's going to be 30 when the season starts, Bregman is. So you get a five-year deal, you go to 35, skills start to decline. But if I can lock up an 8, 9, 10-year deal now at 30, I'm good to go. That's the scary thing when, yeah, you've got 2 years left on Kyle Tucker, but remember, man, arbitration does serious damage sometimes to some of these relationships with teams. The Astros have done pretty good at managing that, but look at the Blue Jays. They just had to pay Vlad Guerrero Jr. whatever he asked, like $19.1 million, which is what he was asking, and he got a little upset. Now, he knows that's the business, but that's a risk you take in alienating players through arbitration. So do you want to lose Alex Bregman and then run the risk of losing Kyle
Tucker?
But Jeremy
and I have had this back and forth because Jeremy is not one to ever consider feelings in the mix. It's just if he's going to get his bag, he's going to get his bag.
Jeremy doesn't have feelings. He's dead inside, so I get that.
Okay, but fair point. But the biggest thing is the fact that he believes that if someone's going to give him a bag, they're going to give him a bag regardless, right? And you feelings aside, you're still going to get what you're going to go after and want to get. And if someone's going to give it to you, you'll forget the feelings. I don't think in the case of Bregman or Tucker that it's going to hurt their feelings because, especially with Tucker, he's going to get paid one way or the other. He's going to get his bag. I just think that it's down the road enough that I'm not really worried about him right now. Like, the Bregman situation to me plays out just like everybody else has, and then he probably plays somewhere else a year from now. So the best thing you can do is, and if you want to make it tough or if you really want to talk about emotions that could play into this, go win another one. Because if you win another one, Bregman might say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I can maybe get some extra coin here or there, but I really love, or at least give them the fondest of memories and give everybody the fact that if they walk away from Bregman, it's a lot easier to walk away when you win a World Series than it is if you don't. So my big thing would be focus on the now. Focus on the fact that if you are Jim Crane and doing things that you weren't otherwise willing to do, you knew you were going to do the Altuve deal.
Right.
But the Hader deal, you're right, came out of left field, surprised the hell out of everybody, but it fired everybody up. It also set unrealistic expectations that fans said, well, now that you did that, why don't you do this and do this and do this? You don't have to worry about anybody pressing except for Bregman. And if you're already in your mind set in the fact that I'm going to do with Bregman what I did with the other guys and there will be a time for this, then focus on one more bat. Focus on the fact that Dana came out and said, Jordan, and the Astros said, Jordan's going to play more left field this year. If Jordan's going to play more left field this year, that means that you could add a bat that doesn't have to necessarily be, majority outfielder. Like some of the guys when they said they wanted a left-handed bat. There are DHs to be had for $6, $7, $10 million that makes this team substantially better offensively if Jordan's going to be in the outfield a lot. I would say right now, I'm done for right now, except for the fact that I'm looking to still try to improve this team this year.
Yeah, if you don't think you can get it done with Bregman, then I would agree with you. Just let it play out. But I feel like if you're serious about – because remember, Crane had the saying, and, Jerome and I got into a fight about this on a game on, but I'm a Windows guy. Hey, you got a window of X, right? And Jerome's like, there's no windows in sports. Well, there kind of is, right? But Jim Crane came out and said, there's no window as long as I own this team. So he says he's committed to winning. It feels like so far you really can't doubt what he's done as far as the contracts that he signed and the way he's handled things. He's proven he'll go out and get big names at the trade deadline and add stars as needed, but he won't spend foolishly. Which I don't blame him, and I kind of like that.
Well, if you look at what he's walked away from, for the most part, yeah, with the exception of Cole and the fact that the jury's still out, but he was going to New York no matter what because that was his dream.
Yeah.
The guys he walked away from, I think he's shown that he made the right move. Springer, Correa, those were the right moves.
Yeah, Keuchel. You know, these are guys that he was like, well, you know, you were great at the time, but they moved on. And so it worries me that now you've got to go out and find a third baseman, but you're not just replacing the bat with Alex Bregman. You're replacing one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball at the same time. He's elite. I mean, he's a top three, top four third baseman. That's tough to come by. And if you look at the Astros farm system, they have zero guys in the top 100. They had the 100th ranked guy in a farm system, and they traded him for the Verlander deal. So you don't have, at least prospect-wise, somebody in the pipeline like you did with Jeremy Peña to replace Carlos Correa. Now, you didn't replace Springer when he left, but Tucker was kind of that replacement in a way
offensively,
in the outfield. What do you do, though? Now, you're going to be without Jose Abreu's contract, so, you know, Verlander probably retires in the next year or so. Maybe. I don't know. He might pitch till he's 50.
He's chasing numbers now.
He might be pitched till he's 50. But now maybe you go out and get another star third baseman. I don't know, but that is a concern, and it's a real one because of the pipeline.
Joseph, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, no, I definitely think what you guys are saying is pretty spot on here with Bregman. I don't expect Bregman to be back. I think it's going to be, like you said, Joel, it's going to be kind of a, well, we did our best. We offered him an extension. It'll be more than, you know, what Springer got, but that's why it's very similar to me to, like, what Carlos was. And the thing with Bregman that's so different is he doesn't have all the injury stuff that Correa had. So he's going to get a real contract from another team, unlike what with Correa was dealing with. So I tend to agree. Like, I would like to see them. I mean, I think the idea of Yordan playing in left more is flawed. Like, I don't think that's a good decision.
It's going to help me win a bet.
It is going to help you. Was it over 50 games in left field is what you and Jeremy have?
Yep.
You know, I don't hate. The only positive I can think of, like, where you don't have to add a bat, when we talked yesterday about Jose Altuve and like him chasing 3,000 hits, and like, do you start kind of, you know, watching his wear and tear because you have Mauricio Dubon? I think you could do a lot of games where like Yordan's in left and Altuve is your DH and Dubon is your second baseman. Like,
is that a good enough upgrade offensively?
I don't know.
Any of us expect Dubon to do have another season? He had a career year last year.
Yeah.
I mean, his career year got him $3.5 million in arbitrations. Like, it's not like he's this like massively talented player. I would love for them to go get Jorge Soler still. And like, the longer,
I would love it, but what about JD Martinez? If it's a DH type position, you add a steady bat.
No, you would have to have somebody to play for in Altuve, Steve, because you're going to be resting him in DH.
But you have Dubon.
Well,
but I'm saying if you were going to add another bat.
Oh,
you could add someone that's more primarily DH than you would. And Joe's right. Look, I think that even when you look at what Correa did and where Correa ended up, Correa was a guy that, you know, he was steady. He didn't fall off. But Correa was never going to be a guy that you're going to look back and go, we miss him or we needed him. But I think for this season, if you don't necessarily have to have the outfielder per se because Yordan's going to play left, which I love because then Chaz plays center. Is Dubon okay in the $3.5 million you spent that he's going to play second and Altuve is going to DH? Or would it be better suited to get one more bat on this roster?
No, I think adding another bat makes sense because whether it's, you know, Altuve at DH or Diaz is DHing and Caratini's catching or Caratini's your DH or even Abreu's your DH and someone else is playing first. Like, what I don't want is a lot of John Singleton. Like, I don't need that.
Oh
it was
gosh,
a fun story, but like, I don't need that every day.
I will actually curse on air if you bring up John Singleton.
Oh, that's your
please
guy.
Please don't do that.
But Cabbage.
That makes no sense.
I mean, I don't need any more bad gas. I don't need Cabbage in my diet.
Yeah, he's the white John Singleton.
Yeah, I don't need Cabbage either. Like, from that standpoint alone, I really believe, I've said this all along. I wanted him to get at least one relief pitcher. Obviously, I didn't think they were going to go big game hunting like they did to get Hader. And I also thought that they needed to get one more bat. It's easier to get that bat because it, there's the specifics aren't. You have to be able to play the outfield and the outfield at Minute Maid and the, you know, do the kind of things that we were thinking about if Jordan was your DH. You have options, but I still would like them to add one more stick, not sticking Altuve at DH and Dubon at second. Well,
let me ask you this. I'm looking at SpotTrack. Alex Bregman's market value. Would you do this deal, Joe? Joel, would you guys do this deal? His market value, according to statistically what he ranks with other players like and their contracts, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Manny Machado, and Mookie Betts. That's where he, that's the range that they have him in. His market value is 9 years, $286 million, which is $31.8 million a year.
I'm out.
Would you do that for 9 years?
I'm out. I'm one.
Jim
I'm
Crane
out, I'm
ain't
out
doing
on,
that.
Crane ain't doing the nine no matter what. I'm out at Bregman at 30 because the one thing, unlike some of the guys that you guys were mentioning too, is the fact that Bregman has been inconsistent. Yeah, we always talk about what a great eye he has at the plate, but even he was starting to get quirky and experiment with things because his hitting was up and down and up and down. Those guys you're talking about, they don't have those big gaps up and down like he didn't have when he was younger.
I think mentally he broke after the cheating scandal and the hate, and I think it affected him, it felt like. I don't know. Maybe there was something else going on. I'm just spitballing here. But, yeah, you're right. If something like that broke you, you know, I don't know.
In 9 years.
I don't know what it was. Yeah, 9 years is a lot.
All right, we got to get to a break. We got Bad Take Boulevard on the other side. You know how we do it on Thursday, so that's coming up next. And a whole lot more. We'd love to see you at the Decoy. We're here in the I-10 Bunker Hill area. Also, Game On will follow us from 6 to 7. So Barry and Jerome will be in the building. So you guys should be in the house like Chewy and Dre and CeCe and everybody else that's here. We'd love to see you. Much more coming up on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN. So many bad takes on sports. What do you do with all of them?
Only there is something in your head to control the things you say.
Well, the Killer Bees use them to build an actual street where they can get run over for all eternity. What's that street? Bad Take Boulevard.
Head back on the Killer Bees. You know how we do it on a Thursday. It's Bad Take Boulevard, and that normally means that there are some people out there in this world that just can't get 4 out of 2 and 2. And when they try to put it all together, it's something that we like to share with you and have a lot of fun with. Barry Laminack in for Jeremy. Jeremy's back tomorrow. Joe's back in the studio. Joe, this first one.
Yeah,
seems
so.
Seems like I might have some interest in this one.
Yeah, this first one. So, BZ Money, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll give you our Super Bowl picks. We'll decide as a show what side of the game we're on, the number, the total. We'll give some prop bets. But a couple weeks ago, I took a couple days off work. And I was looking at the rundown on that after AFC Championship weekend, and I was just a little baffled. I was like, the week before, you never bet against Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. He's now 10-1 in his career, 10-1-1 in his career as an underdog. Yet I find out, Joel, that Jeremy Branham and Brian McDonald, while I'm away, outvoted you and made you guys pick Baltimore and Lamar against the Chiefs in the AFC title game. So Jeremy and Brian are on Bad Take Boulevard, and they make the list.
Joe, I believe my actual quote was, never bet against Patrick Mahomes getting points in the playoffs. That's why I felt like the Chiefs. So I was with you. I listened. I learned. I was willing to go that direction. I got outvoted.
Yeah, that's tough. So they make the list. The next one I've got
Where's
here.
Where's my audio guy? Where's my little audio?
I'm a one-man band in here today, so I don't have the ability to do all of that at once.
You made the list!
Yeah, it's Chris Jericho.
Oh.
All right, so the next one I have here, I just saw this. I was perusing Old Takes Exposed. And February 5th, 2017, with 15 minutes left to go in the Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons tweeted 15 minutes away with a screenshot or a scoreboard with them leading 28-9. We all know how that ended. So the Atlanta Falcons Twitter account, you also make the list.
Go ahead.
What?
Holy cow, Andrew. What? We gave him a chance. I'll do it. You just made the list.
That's
so good for you. Oh, I'm going to do my own. I don't want to do y'all's. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do my own.
This is what got you.
You stupid. No, I don't. Okay. Well, also, by the way, 15 minutes away. Anyone that tells you that is lying. They just left the house, no matter what.
Fact.
So anytime you see 15 minutes away, it's, you know, it's a fail.
You know, so you know the only time up. You use that?
Yeah.
Bar time.
Huh?
At bar time.
Yeah, bar time.
I'm only 15 minutes away. I'll be right there.
100%. That's, yeah, right. I'll be right there. 15 minutes away. Just left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stay up.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Joe.
No, it's fine.
I'll be better on the next one.
No. And the, okay, so last one I got here. We know it's Radio Row week. Bunch of people doing interviews. Brock Bowers, the guy that we've talked about on the show a bunch during our mock draft season stuff we've been doing, is a guy that we all would love the Houston Texans to take, maybe trade up for in the draft. So Brock Bowers was on with Mike Florio yesterday, and they asked him where he would want to get drafted. And, like, you guys know how it works. Most of these prospects are just going to say things like, oh, I just want to go somewhere where I can win, where I can catch a lot of passes, like a good culture fit, all that nonsense. This moron, because I'm out on Brock Bowers, out loud goes, I want to be a Tennessee Titan. So for that, Brock Bowers, you make the list.
No.
You want to catch passes from Will Levis?
He really
doing the sounder.
Like, yeah, you just – what was – It's the Bull Durham. I just, you know, I don't care where I go. Hopefully I can help the team. Good Lord willing, everything works out in the end.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. No, he said the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah. Yeah, he said the Tennessee Titans.
Oh,
that's a bad
Brock.
Look.
Low S2.
That's a horrible look. That's awful. You want to try this again? Or
yeah, I'm going to do it. Can I do it? I just did it, but Joe was still talking. I interrupted him. My bad. All right, here we go. 3, 2. Suck it, nerd! Nope.
That's great.
Thank you.
Was it great? Are you going to, like, store that and use it?
I think we could use that one going forward, too. Some Suck It Nerd.
Suck It
Nerd. We could create a whole new segment called Suck It Nerd. We'll have Barry
call
in.
Oh, wow. I call in and do it. I'm down.
Like, that's the other thing. I saw him the other day, and it seemed like he got it. He was doing, like, McAfee or something like that, and they asked him, they're like, hey, we've seen mock drafts where you go anywhere from 5 to 14. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And he's like, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I can't wait to get to the next level kind of thing. And then he follows that bit of at least draft, pre-draft brilliance, stay the hell away, go wherever you're drafted, with I want to play for Tennessee.
I mean, I'm fine with someone like calling their shot and out loud saying what team they would like to play for, because it's a sign that you want to go in the top six. But Justin Herbert and the Chargers literally have a top five draft pick. Why wouldn't you say the Chargers? You want to, because he said it's like he's from the area-ish. Like, so it's like it's kind of close to
south?
Home.
He looks like he'd own a hound dog. So this might be a perfect fit. He does.
Fair.
He kind of looks like you know, like he was conceived and born in a trailer. Like,
yeah, but like,
they were, you know, out in a kiddie pool on the porch.
Like, you want to catch passes from Mayo Boy? A guy who eats bananas with the peels?
Yeah, the coffee mayo thing. And,
bananas with the peels?
Will Levis eats bananas with the peel.
And he drinks coffee with a crap ton of mayo in it.
Okay.
Fat
that is
coffee.
The whitest thing I have ever heard of.
No, it's not.
The mayo? The mayo is a drink.
All of it. Well, you know what? They would make a – Brock Bowers looks like he would dunk bananas in the peel in coffee full of mayo. That's what he looks like he would do.
But why would –
The thing is,
and even if you wanted to play for the Chargers, why would you piss off the other teams in the draft or a team that might be trying to trade up to get you? Until you know where you're going, shut up.
Well, but, I mean, honestly, he knows he's so good. Would somebody could be like, well, we're not drafting him now. No way.
Well, remember, CJ said that he thought the women in L.A. were a lot better than the women in Houston.
You know what I've learned? CJ Stroud has a lot of bad takes. He better keep being a good quarterback. He's not like.
Did you just put CJ Stroud
on
Bad Take Boulevard?
Man,
suck it, nerd!
Here's the thing. Like, going on podcasts, like, CJ needs to stop doing interviews. Because if he stops being a bad quarterback, we're going to turn on him. This guy's going out there saying Bryce Young's a good quarterback. What are you doing, CJ? Like, he straight up blamed the wide receivers, and he's like, Bryce Young's still good. Watch the tape. We watched the tape, CJ. Bryce Young's not good.
You know what he's doing?
Bryce Young was good enough to beat the Texans.
He's planning for the future, and he's being nice to his future backup. That's what he's doing.
But kind of what Joe's saying is, but at the same time, every time he pumps up Bryce Young, it makes him look even better, because no matter how good Bryce Young is, they know he's the better of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, look, I love C.J. Stroud, but he has to keep winning. Like, he did this interview with Ryan Clark, like, and that's where he talked about the Bryce Young stuff too. The arrogance that this guy has, it is like, I want to love C.J. Stroud forever. But the whole interview is like, they don't know that I got that dog in me. That when I get on the field, I'm just a different kind of person. And I'm like, CJ, like, please stop doing interviews.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Joe.
I don't know.
You're just now that you're being petty. There's nothing wrong. What would you rather him say? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared to go out there.
No, I just think it's so corny. It's so corny.
I just hope we punt on first down. Like, no, it's not corny. I do think it was corny when he was like, they were like, are you adjusted to now, you know, the season's over? And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to stop and smell my flowers. It was like, what? That sounded like a euphemism for something else, first of all. That was weird.
I don't love CJ Stroud podcast interviews. I feel like he's walking
I think
down
he has too much
road.
Freedom. I think you're right. I think that, like, when you take all the padded the guardrails off and let him go, like, he goes. Like, I think at the podium, obviously the PR staff is kind of coaching him up on his way up there, and he knows how to handle, like, the media questions. But when he knows, like, no filters, it is kind of a danger zone.
But yeah. Do you blame him? I mean, look what he's done. I'd probably be
it's
out
It's one
there.
Year, Barry.
I don't care. Look, the kid was a top five quarterback in the NFL in his first year.
I know, Barry.
Stay hungry, like, stay humble, dog.
I'm like, you don't Come go on man. A podcast interview and trash the women of Houston or say Tex-Mex isn't good. Like, those are bad takes.
Yep.
Okay, well, I've seen a lot of women in Houston.
Well, he's not totally wrong about that one, but, like, I was thinking more like, you're going to trash Houston's food? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's a really bad take that Houston Tex-Mex is not good, but, I mean,
Are you crapping on the women of Houston?
I'll just say, you know, maybe our women have lost their fastball a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
And all you're going to see now is straight change.
It's not San Antonio, but it's fine.
Dang,
thanks,
wow.
Charles.
Yeah, it's not. But look, man, I feel like the ladies in this town, they've lost a step.
You're saying that because you're married now, too.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. If I still thought the women here were hot, I'd tell you that. I'm not saying there's not hot women in Houston, okay? I'm just saying that I don't know if the numbers are the same anymore. I think that's fair. A lot of them moved. It got too hot. It melted all their plastic work. They had to get out of here. I get that.
The Med Center does some of the finest work on the planet.
Well, okay.
I'm just saying. It ain't Miami, but
I mean, like,
now he is spoiled if he's talking about LA because LA, everybody's trying to be famous.
Yeah, they got more plastic surgery spots than Starbucks out there. That's an easy one, but I don't know. I think you're being too critical of the kid, Joe.
All right, well, we got plenty more to get to. We're going to take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more. Almost done with hour number two, but it always includes you. That means there's plenty more to get into right here on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Killer Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
Jeremy out today, back tomorrow. My good friend Barry Laminack sitting next to me along with Andrew Carlson here at the Decoy, where people are actually playing whatever you call it when you play volleyball with your feet, and it's rather impressive that they are actually good at it. Barry said it's called hacky sack.
Yeah.
No, pretty sure that's with a beanbag, but okay. But the Decoy is a great place to be. Crystal Collins is here. Chewy is here, not paying a lick of attention to us, but getting free electricity. Dr. Dre on 290 is now on I-10. And the complexity and the puzzles continue.
Is that what you say when someone hangs out? Oh, bro, you're just down here siphoning off this electricity.
Have you seen?
Just getting
Have
free
you seen
electricity?
That he is literally about 8 feet away and has the extension cord to make sure he's getting power? That's what I would say when he's stealing electricity.
He's not stealing. He bought a water.
He's got a gaming headset on. He's probably not even listening to us. He's talking about. Okay, just for that, we got some texts.
Don't read any.
2128 says the Tex-Mex is the reason the women here have lost their fastball.
Thank you. That genius. That guy. I don't know who that is.
Oh, so you like that one, huh?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, so
I'm
then how about this one?
That.
Joe said brilliant. I should have saved it for mean text. Not sure who was talking there, but my bet is he's fat and balding and has no business calling out the way women look in Houston.
Stop reading my diary, jerk. That's true. All that's a fact.
I actually did them a solid, too.
Was that another one of your texts?
No, 3616. If I read it exactly how they
Were there curse words in it?
No, not sure who is talking right now, but my bed as he's fat and balding and has no business.
Ha ha, you're dumb. You spelled it bed and not bet. Go back to school, nerd.
You got to remember Houston getting all the fat, ugly California girls that couldn't make it in L.A.
Well,
again, well said.
Yeah, see? Okay, so I got one guy that can't spell that didn't like the take. I'm good. I like my odds here.
And then, Joe, something that you don't want to hear that
you
someone
lay your
suggested.
Bet, you got to lie in it.
Someone said, well, what does CJ think about Houston's massage therapist? Not something we need on a podcast or anywhere else.
Ouch.
Yes, we can just.
Are you asking me not to address this one? Joel's like, just we're having a good thing here.
So Nick Saban, by the way. Nick Saban, the coach, maybe the greatest college football coach or one of the greatest college football coaches in the history of college football.
He is, right?
No, not wins
wise.
No, he's not.
Is there a maybe?
No, he's behind two. He's behind Joe Paterno.
Oh.
He's behind, I believe, Bear Bryant.
You're going to say Joe Paterno is better than Nick Saban?
Statistically, wins wise in Division I.
Wins, that's – what are we talking about, wins?
Like touchdowns and Super Bowls for Andre Johnson? Is that what we're going to do here?
No, I just feel like Nick Saban goes down as the greatest, the GOAT.
So here's where he's not going to be the greatest. He's joining, in my opinion, he's joining College Game Day, okay? I don't think Tom Brady should be an analyst because I think Tom Brady is I'm going to say this. And everybody says, oh, he's strong on Twitter. It's easy on Twitter because there's no immediate feedback and you're not doing it on live television. I don't think he is going to be critical of players when he does analysis, but I think even more so, Nick Saban in the booth is going to be like sticking an extension cord in Lee Corso and hoping he has more energy.
Oh, wow.
I think Lee Corso lost his fastball with age. I think Nick Saban
had a stroke.
No, I'm saying, and I love Lee Corso, but I think that obviously he was there for, he had a good long run. But
not
I think
so fast, my friend.
Yes, with the pencil, but and the mascot heads. But I think that when you put Saban in there, I just can't see him being critical and willing to call out mistakes and things that aren't going to aren't
Saban
good.
Has the personality of a cardboard box. So that's the concern more than anything is like, do you want to listen? I feel like Saban talking is like listening to paint dry. It's just, I don't want to listen to that. That's why I like about Tony Romo is he's telling you things.
What's the saying? Drier than a popcorn?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say it or not, so I stopped.
Why can't you? You used to say it for 4 years straight.
Well, I used to do it to you, too.
But, I mean, Saban, he doesn't have a good personality. He's not likable. And it just, like Brady, somebody said something about Twitter. Yeah, Brady's good on Twitter and social media, and everybody's good and funny when you have people writing for you. When you have a team that's helping create your content.
Yep.
But when somebody puts a mic in your face, now, not that they don't know the game, but...
Well, you're preaching on this because you're living it, because you come up with your own stuff and you're creative. But a ton of people get credit for what comes out of the horse's mouth when they're not doing the feeding of the hay and the cleaning up of the crap.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why when you look at this and you say, look, if I gave you guys three options and I said, who's going to be better if and or when they do TV, Belichick, Saban, or Brady?
I'm not watching football. I'm going to go watch.
You can watch it. You can turn the volume down.
Volleyball instead. I'd rather. Yeah, those three just. No,
I think
thanks,
of the three,
man.
Brady has the best chance.
Absolutely.
To succeed.
Now, if I made you choose between Brady and Gronk, are you a Gronk fan?
God,
he's awful.
He's
Gronk is terrible.
Here's the thing. Their feet, like to your point, every time he's in the studio, they are feeding him stats to say to make him look smart.
Yeah.
And he still finds a way to teeter on the fact that I don't think he's so smart.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah.
You don't think Gronk is smart? Gronk play football.
My daughter's taught me not to use the S word, but I don't think he's very smart.
Oh, you can't say stupid?
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the S word to them.
Oh.
They're taught that in school now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We're
I'm
in trouble.
Saying. Yeah. So I don't know if Joe's gotten to that point yet.
Did I just get dumped for saying Gronk is stupid?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Say, wow.
No, but I'm saying Joe's got a young one, too, and when he gets going, you're going to find out the fact that in school, the new S word is stupid.
That's soft.
See, this
that's
is
an
why,
S word, too.
Just
the one
put this on the list, and it's not even a list now. It's a book. It's a spiral-bound notebook of reasons why I don't want kids. Right there. That's another one. Like, you can't even call somebody stupid when you're six. Come on, that's the best part.
Well, but okay, so Joe, you got any input? Like of the three, I think Brady has the best chance to actually be decent. But like, I never want to see Belichick in the booth because first of all, no one's going to believe him because of how grumpy, crotchety, and short he always was at press conferences. And from Saban's point of view, like I just don't. He's another one of those grumpy, crotchety, great ones that you put him in the booth and expect him to be entertaining and give you like nuggets. I don't.
Yeah, but Saban's the one that I don't believe in at all. I was actually watching this clip earlier from Brady. He was on a podcast with Steve Young. My issue with Brady is that like it seems like he's going to be good at it, but he's too like get off my lawn already. Like everything he talks about is how bad football is. How the one I saw today was how the quarterbacks don't know how to play the game, and like he's trying to explain it, but like for someone like me, even like who I feel like I have a pretty solid knowledge of football, the things he's saying like they're not going to translate on television. Like, it's just going to sound like a bunch of big words that, like, we don't really, like, yeah, Lance is going to love it, but, like, is anyone else at the station, or is he just going to be spewing nonsense, it's going to seem like?
It's a good point, because that's what makes Tony Romo so great and so likable.
Right.
Is he's
no,
right,
but here's
he
the
tells
thing.
You, but he doesn't, he tells you, he doesn't talk at you.
But here's the thing.
And that's important.
I was just
going to
say, he's going to be the anti-Romo, and people are going to love it, because Romo has, the shtick is worn off. People loved it when he was initially, and we've had this conversation before, Joe and Jeremy and I. It used to be like this newfangled way of doing broadcasting when he would tell you what the play was before it happened. And he would explain, you know, how the RPO was going to be used here. But now, probably because he also got big for his britches and they say he doesn't do nearly the work, people are getting tired that he's got more Clyde in him than he does newfangled broadcasting. Oh, Jim! And you're like, what did you just give me that I couldn't have done with the volume down?
Yeah. Yeah, we've
unless the NFL public tries to shut Brady down, I think people are going to love the fact that Brady's not afraid to be critical of the sport that he played and succeeded in.
As long as he's not talking about your team, people get ultra sensitive about that. I was just talking about how
that's
I love Kyle Brandt,
yeah.
And somebody was like, "He's a D-bag." I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Because he talks bad about the Chiefs." I'm like, "You need to get a life, sir. That is weird that's how you would judge the man because he didn't say something nice about your team." Like, people get overly sensitive about that. For me, I watch the games. I just want to be entertained while I'm watching it. That's why I like the main cast.
But like, that's the difference between the NFL over-policing and the NFL going, look, he ain't wrong. If he's going to criticize the quarterback play.
You think they over-police it now?
Oh, I think that they do. I think in any league. I lived it in the NBA. No matter how much you think you're right, and maybe you are, if it tarnishes the brand, whether the team does it to me or the league does it to me, they will speak up.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's go. We got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the show. So we got plenty more to get to, and we'd love you to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. Chime in on Belichick, Brady, or Saban. Chime in on if you were happy the Rockets stood pat during the trade deadline or anything else you got that you got planned that maybe isn't on our agenda. We'll work it into the conversation. He's Joe back at the studio. Andrew here keeping us on the air. Barry and I, one more hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock. Back in just a few right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.